Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, your bold type watching, farmer's market shopping, ugly vegetable eating friend.
And I'm Bethany, your coffee chugging, crowds avoiding, I'll be able to do a push-up one day friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
stress management / taking control of your life / curating the life you want.
Oh, please enlighten me because I've melted into a puddle.
Yeah, I had on the way home from my vacation in San Francisco last night, I had an epiphany on the plane, which is where, you know, emotions are heightened, that studies have shown. And so I was crying and came to a realization. So we'll talk about how to take control of your stressful life today.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
What about you, Kathleen? What'd you bring to the class?
And I have two amazing business ideas.
Oh, good.
That I probably will never follow through with. So I want to put them out into the universe so somebody else does.
Amazing. I'm excited.
Thanks.
Kathleen, can I just commend you? It is awful outside. It is like downpoury, and you still came to Kitchen Studio NYC with all of your things in tow.
I feel like it never stops raining in freaking New York.
I know.
It's crazy. This is going to sound really strange, but back in June of 2009.
10 years ago.
And it's just like, it was my first June when I wasn't in college. Yeah. So that's why I remember it. It was the coldest June in the history of Junes in New York City. It was 50 degrees every day.
Yeah.
And I will take this rainy weather over a cold, wet June any day.
I would like a cold, wet, rainy June.
Mm.
I would like both of them, please. I love this weather. But being out in it with a lot of stuff sucks.
It does.
Yeah.
Computers and backpacks. And then you get to work and you're soaking wet.
Yeah. And heaven forbid you have to look okay. Like if you have to give a presentation or whatever that day, like, no, it's not going to happen.
You don't want to be that person who wears one of those clear plastic rain tarps over everything.
Like my grandmother.
Yes. And you know, my grandma used to have this thing. She'd take it out of her purse. It was like a head handkerchief.
Yeah. It was like a bonnet. Yeah. Like a plastic bonnet
to put over her perm. Actually, yep. The more that I think about it, that's kind of helpful.
I think that the plastic bonnets are associated with old women only because everyone should wear them. But once you're an old woman, you don't care anymore what people think. And so that's when you start wearing them. They're great.
We should design a line of plastic bonnets that are fun and cool and young for young women.
And that's your business idea.
Oh, right. That's not my business idea, but that's another one I'm adding to the list.
It's a really good one. Old women know what's up.
Can I tell you about this exciting thing that I subscribe to?
Please.
So I subscribe to this new service and they don't advertise with us, but they should.
Okay. Okay.
It's called Imperfect Produce. Oh. And essentially, what it is, it's a delivery subscription to my house of all of the ugly produce that the supermarket didn't want, so it doesn't go to waste.
That's great.
So every other week, and you can get it every week, but I have it coming every other week. It's kind of like a mystery box of fruits and vegetables you open up and then you figure out what to do with it this week.
Is it harder to figure out what to do with it because it's ugly, so you're not quite sure what it is?
No. Okay. You can tell.
I don't know
what
if it's like morphed or like ruined. Okay.
And actually, the stuff that came to my house this week, I got like carrots and nectarines and apples and an eggplant and some kale and stuff. It was totally fine looking to me. Like, I'm not one of those, you know, produce snobs.
Yeah.
People who will go to the supermarket and they only pick out produce that looks perfect.
Yeah.
I'm a weirdo who likes my fruit like kind of like on the brink of going bad.
Yeah. I mean, I like, you know, I like wounded animals. I like, not wounded like and they're hurt, but like they look weird.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I like my things weird.
So apparently there's this whole movement for subscription services and companies that will sell you ugly produce.
That's such a good idea.
And I think it's amazing.
Yeah. So I don't know. Have you ever heard of Cheese Orphans?
No.
Okay. So I've seen, they're in Minnesota, but I don't know if any other grocery store does this, but there's a grocery store in Minnesota that like in the fancy cheese section of the grocery store, they have a basket and it's Cheese Orphans. And it's like the tiny sections of cheese left over when they cut like the bigger chunks and saran wrapped them. And so they're just like these small versions of cheese. And so it's like a really fancy cheese, but for $2 instead of $11.
Amazing.
But it's just a basket that says Cheese Orphans. And then you get all of your cheese from the Cheese Orphans container.
Yeah, hell yeah. Go and get yourself that fancy brie. Yeah,
I love it. I love it. And so when I moved here and there wasn't a Cheese Orphans basket, I was very upset. I don't want to pay $11 for brie, but I'm willing to commit to two.
Have you seen they make these like mini bries now?
No.
It's like a full circle mini brie, which actually doesn't, it's like, I like the inside of the brie. I do eat the rind sometimes. So it's not my favorite part.
Are you allowed to eat the rind?
Yeah, you're allowed to eat the rind.
I thought it was like poison.
No, it's not poison. Bethany, they're not going to give that to you at the grocery store if it's poison.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, anyway, it's like, they're good for picnics. It's like these mini brie.
But then I feel like you're getting more skin.
I know. That's the whole thing.
Less inside to skin ratio.
Oh, you know what is so fun to peel?
What?
Those baby bells, the cheese inside the wax. Why do they taste so good?
I know. And sometimes I chew on the wax. I'm not going
to
lie.
How do they get the wax to go around it so perfectly?
How do it happen?
It's just so fun.
And they have, so you have to, like, I think what you have to do, this is my guess, is you have to like wrap the little, like the little wax paper band around it and then dip it.
That must
in
be
wax.
It. How long does that take? Is it done by hand?
I don't know.
I haven't
There's
bought
those.
There's
no things. Way to know.
I haven't bought them in such a long time.
Oh, I love them.
But I remember loving that commercial as a kid.
Yeah. Oh, they're so. What was the commercial? I never saw the commercial as a kid.
It was like the little wax cheese ball was like rolling around all over the place. Have fun.
Nothing to stop it. Nothing. It's a wheel. It's so good. And it's like, oh man.
Possibilities are endless.
Oh, I love it.
And do you remember on Friday nights, TGIF. Do you remember the show Step by Step?
Sure do. It took place in Wisconsin.
No, it didn't.
Yeah,
really?
Port Washington, Wisconsin.
Oh, I had no idea. There was a brother, a blonde brother. He was kind of nerdy.
Yeah, with the glasses.
Show.
Yeah.
He was in the Baby Bell cheese commercial.
It's funny the things you remember.
I mean, like, I literally couldn't remember anything useful. Like, I couldn't tell you, like, any of the presidents in any of the orders, what their names are.
We had an Obama.
And there was like a Roosevelt.
A Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Indeed. I remember just random things from your childhood. I remember there was a Pop-Tart cereal.
Uh-huh.
And the actress in the Pop-Tart cereal was Marla Sokolov. And
Stop.
Then she was in like Full House.
Yeah.
And I was obsessed with her because I thought she was so beautiful. And I don't know if she's working
on a TV show now.
Is she?
Yeah, I think her and the younger sister from Seventh Heaven, Beverly Mitchell.
Uh-huh.
I think, like, don't hold me to it. It might be on, like, it's on this network, I think, called, like, the Pop Network. So not every cable subscription service gets it.
It's like Hollywood Darlings or whatever
that
show is.
Something like that,
she's on it.
It's like a semi-scripted series, but I think they go by their own names.
I just remember I thought she was the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen in my life. And it was because of that Pop-Tart commercial. And I memorized the commercial.
She was in Full House.
Uh-huh.
And she was the mean girl from the Babysitter's Club movie.
Really?
Yes.
Damn.
Who was starring, God, what's her name?
Beverly Mitchell?
No. Babysitter.
Beverly D'Angelo?
Club movie.
Beverly Cleary. Beverly, True Beverly Hills.
Oh, it was starring Skylar Fisk, who is Sissy Spacek's daughter.
Skylar Fisk.
Okay. And
Sissy Spacek's daughter, Skylar Fisk.
Okay. And then she was in, I'm so obsessed with her. I follow her on Instagram. She's a musician.
Okay.
You know that singer, that male singer, Joshua Radin?
Nope. Oh, gosh, I don't know anything, Kathleen. I don't have to know, so I don't know.
Skylar Fisk was dating him for a long time. They kind of had a tumultuous breakup. And she was in that movie Orange County with Colin Hanks and Jack Black.
Okay.
Come on. I'm a big fan of hers anyway. And that's like one of the only movies that she ever did was The Babysitter's Club. She played Christy.
Oh, she played Christy.
Like, Christy's like the main girl.
The type A one.
I hear that Netflix is coming back with a new Babysitter's Club series.
Man, those books were awful and I loved them. So my sister read the Babysitter's Club books, but I was her younger sister, so I wasn't allowed to. I had to read Babysitter's Little Sister starring Karen.
Yeah.
And I just remember even at a young age being like, these are dumb.
It's like Barbie's little sister Skipper. You're like, I don't want to play with Skipper.
No, I want to play with Barbie.
Like, Skipper just always makes trouble.
Yeah, Skipper's flat-footed. I want Barbie who's wearing heels. Like, Karen and, those books were awful. And it was just always like, Karen's parents are divorced. Life is really hard for her.
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh, must suck to have divorced parents. Right. Fast forward.
Yeah, Dawn has diabetes. Somebody get her a muffin.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Claudia's artistic. Fun for her.
But she's really bad at science.
Do you remember they would describe the outfits Claudia was wearing?
No.
They were horrendous.
Oh, I would love to go back and read this series as an adult.
I'm going to look up one of Claudia's. Hold on. Claudia Kishi is her name. I don't know. Claudia Kishi outfits. It autocorrects in Google.
Hold on. Do you remember in elementary school you would get those paper Scholastic catalogs?
Yes.
And you could buy the books there, but then also they started selling the tapes.
Yes.
And you could buy the VHS tapes. Yeah. There was this kid from my town that was in those tapes. You know the Nickelodeon show, Pete and Pete?
Yeah.
Okay, so I only ever watched it at friend's house because I didn't have cable growing up. Yeah. But little Pete from Pete and Pete was from the town that I grew up in.
Really?
And he was also in the Babysitter's Club series. So there was like always like a hometown tie for me.
That's amazing. Okay, wait. Here is a description of one of Claudia's outfits. There's a whole blog that just is like what Claudia wore.
Can you tell me what the website is?
This one is Babysitter's Club. So bsc.omg/squee.com.
bsc.omg/squee. Spell squee.
S-Q-U-E-E. Sorry, it's dash, not slash. Okay. Dash squee. omg-squee.com.
Okay, we're gonna put this up on our Twitter account, but this is amazing.
So here's a description of one of Claudia's outfits. Claudia Kishi was wearing a short, very baggy lavender plaid overalls, a white lacy blouse, a black fedora, and red high top sneakers without socks. Her black hair was carefully arranged in four braids. Here's another one. Claudia was wearing a baggy yellow and black checked shirt, black pants, red jazz shoes, and a bracelet that looked like it was made from a telephone cord.
Stop.
Her earrings were dangling jointed skeletons that jumped around when she moved. Here's another one. Claudia has this wild streak in her that makes her buy belts made of feathers and wear knee socks with palm trees on them. Here's another.
Oh my God. You know what? A new business idea, Bethany.
What?
We start an app where in a very calming voice, you just read what Claudia's wearing. and then people can go to sleep or meditate.
Wait, should we do it right now? Okay, we're going to hold on. Claudia was wearing purple pants that stopped just below the knees and are held up with suspenders, white tights with clocks on them, a purple plaid shirt with a matching purple plaid hat, high top sneakers, and lobster earrings. Here's another one. Claudia finished dressing in her favorite art class outfit, black jeans, a giant bright blue t-shirt, and a snake bracelet that she wore above her elbow. Here's another one.
Then Claudia handed me a full white skirt with the words Paris, Rome, and London and sketchy pink and blue pictures of the Eiffel Tower, the Tower Bridge, and other stuff scrawled all over it.
And other stuff.
She matched it up with a pink shirt and a baggy pink sweater. I never, ever would have tried on that skirt, but with the shirt and the sweater, it looked really cool. In the shoe department, we found some white slip-ons with pink and blue edging that matched the pink and blue in the skirt.
Awful. Here's another one. It was Claudia's vegetable blouse, an oversized.
Claudia was. Did Claudia start ModCloth and nobody knew?
If anyone knows me and loves me, get me a fucking vegetable blouse. It was Claudia's vegetable blouse, an oversized white shirt with a green vegetable print all over it, cabbages and squashes and turnips and stuff. Under the blouse was a very short jean skirt, white stockings, green anklets over the stockings, and lavender sneakers, the kind boys usually wear, with a lot of rubber and big laces and the name of the manufacturer in huge letters on the sides. Wait, I'm not done. Claudia had pulled the hair on one side of her head back with a yellow clip that looked like a poodle. The hair on the other side of her head was hanging in her face. Attached to the one ear, you could see a plastic earring about the size of a jar lid. Awesome.
I'm dying. Okay. Here's another one. Yeah. That it's an integral part of the app. Where
here's another.
Okay, here's another one. Claudia was sprawled on the floor halfway under her bed. She was wearing a wonderful Claudia outfit, a purple and white striped bodysuit under a gray jumper thing. The legs of the bodysuit stretched all the way to her ankles, but she was wearing purple push-up socks anyway. Around her middle was a wide purple belt with a buckle in the shape of a telephone, and on her feet were black ballet slippers. I can't.
Okay, first of all, what nobody talks about is that these were babies taking care of babies.
Babies taking care of babies.
It was fucked up. Like, Mallory was no older than 10.
No, there is no way that these parents should have been allowing these girls, especially when you find out the hijinks these girls get into.
Yeah.
They should not have been allowed to watch children.
And there were always boys around.
Always.
Okay, and then the freaking Babysitter's Club movie, don't get me wrong, freaking love that movie. Still own the VHS and the DVD and the soundtrack, okay?
Good girl.
They started a camp for the neighborhood kids. These were kids that started a camp for kids even smaller than they were.
And I would like a series of books. Anna, Martin, are you listening? I would like a series of books about the Babysitter's Club parents and all the key parties they must have been having and the booze they were swilling, because they were so willing to toss their children to anyone who had a free evening to watch them. The kid kit was filled with a ton of like paper, and that's about it.
That's it.
And they were just like, that's great, because Todd and I have to go visit Martin, and we're going to have a throuple, and we're going to get sexed.
Clearly, Claudia's mom didn't love her. She didn't care what she was wearing. I mean, a belt that's in the shape of a telephone?
I mean, my God.
Preposterous.
Here's another one. Claudia's artistic flair runs over into her clothes. You should see how she dresses. Wild. Baggy jeans, skin-tight pants, mini skirts, odd layers of things. Bright way to describe that one.
Odd
Anna
layers
Martin.
Of things.
Bright colors and weird jewelry. And she fixes her hair differently every day. And she does things like paint her toenails with sparkles. What the fuck?
Can you imagine?
Once she went to school with glitter in her hair. Glitter.
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 Glitter. I've been doing a lot of organizing recently.
Yeah.
I have found so many old pictures from middle school and high school that I want to send to Legacy Box.
This is before you started dyeing your hair.
Legacy Box, we always talk about it being for your old family videos.
Yeah.
Don't get us wrong. You can use these for pictures of your friends if you don't like your family. I'm just saying. Like,
it's true. Save your family films and photos from degrading or being lost forever. And that includes the stuff that you did in high school that you don't necessarily want to forget. Send your legacy box filled with old home movies and pictures. They do the rest, professionally digitizing your moments onto a thumb drive, digital download, or DVD.
Okay, so what happens? You go to legacybox.com slash taste.
Yeah, and we'll tell you about that.
And you're like, bah, 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 bah. They send you this amazing box that you can put all of your stuff into.
Yep.
They want to keep everything that you have safe, intact, and they take the utmost care with it.
In the box, they have little barcodes that you attach to each of your items so that when you send it back, they scan those barcodes. You always know what's happening. You get personalized updates at every step. And then you receive all of your original recorded moments back along with all of your perfectly preserved digital copies. And then you can forward them to family and friends.
Yeah. You TBT them on your Instagram.
Totally.
And all the work is done by hand here in the United States.
Over 450,000 families have trusted Legacy Box, including my family. We got back videos from my grandma and grandpa's 50th wedding anniversary party that we threw, which I had completely forgotten about. And we got to forward the clips and the videos to all of my aunts and uncles.
Aww.
And they got to see my grandparents. My grandparents are both passed away now. And it was so amazing to hear my grandma's voice again, because I had forgotten what her voice sounded like. Aww. And it was such an integral part to me growing up that it was like, oh my gosh, that's her voice.
Oh, that's so nice.
It was one of the best things I've ever done.
Oh, preserve your old photos and your old videos in the digital age. It's a priceless commitment to make.
Visit legacybox.com today to get started.
Plus, for a limited time, they're offering Acquire Taste listeners an exclusive discount. So all you have to do is go to legacybox.com/taste. That's T-A-S-T-E to get 40% off of your first order. That's freaking 40%.
Again, go to legacybox.com/taste to save 40% today and get started preserving your past.
All right, Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
I have some business ideas.
Okay, I'm excited. Let's make some money.
So today it's eerily gray in New York City.
I love it.
And about 7 o'clock this morning, it was kind of a color outside where if you had just woken up from a deep, long sleep, you wouldn't be able to tell if it was morning or night.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Right? It's like that creepy apocalyptic orange gray.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. So I'm driving along and it's pouring and I'm in my car and I'm like, I just love days like today when you get to stay home. That's a key factor when you get to stay home.
Yes.
Okay. So like when you have to go to work and it's pouring, that sucks.
Yeah.
But what if somebody, like what if you were suffering from exhaustion?
Uh-huh.
And somebody created a resort for you to go to where they made this bubble. This is my business idea. This is business idea number one.
Number one.
You make a bubble and there's a resort underneath and the sky here is perpetually gray.
I would love it.
Okay. So then they're individualized cabins. Okay. Okay.
So wait. Is each cabin within its own sphere?
No. It's like a big sphere.
Yeah.
And then there's all these cabins underneath.
It's like that show called Dome or whatever that show is called.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Okay. And it's always just kind of like drizzling. Sometimes it's pouring.
Yeah.
It's a little bit moist outside. So you are forced to cuddle up.
Yeah.
What's that Danish word?
Hygge.
Hygge. Hygge. How do you spell it again?
H-Y-G-G-E,
yes,
I think.
Yes, Hygge.
Hyg.
No, Hyg.
Okay, Hyg.
So you curl up inside of a cabin.
Candles.
It's gray outside. Somebody delivers just like delicious home-cooked food to your door.
That sounds wonderful.
And Bethany, over Christmas, your mom made us the most comfy, delicious knit socks.
Yeah.
And every time I put on those knit socks, I think of your mom and I'm like, oh. I just love these socks.
Yeah, they're the best socks.
They make me feel good. So there's got to be knit socks in each of these cabins.
Yeah.
And there's like a plethora of books and there's like every streaming service ever. So you can watch all these movies and these like, you know, chunky knit blankets and comfortable pajamas. And it just smells good all the time. There's like an aromatherapy
like
element.
Cinnamon.
Yes. And you never have to leave. And that's how you recover from your exhaustion. This is my idea for a resort.
That sounds to me friggin' amazing.
Yeah.
How much do domes cost?
I don't know.
How big would the dome have to be?
It would have to be kind of large. I imagine that this would best, this kind of thing would like best work in Seattle.
Yeah.
Or like maybe Arizona.
Unless you could find a dome within which you could project grayness.
Yes. So it would be fake weather on the inside.
Yeah. It would be like Truman Show weather.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking for domes for sale.
I really think that we could take this somewhere. What do you think? What should we call it? We should call it like gray sales.
Like, well, we have to make it sound intriguing or and
does
good.
That sound like a funeral home?
It sounds like a funeral home. Mm. What if it's just like
sleepy gray? Sleepy Hollow.
Better. That's closer. Mm. Dome, you wish you felt better. Don't laugh at that.
Well, okay,
that's
so
awful.
You know when you're exhausted, but it's really sunny outside.
Yes,
and you get a little bit of FOMO. You're like, oh, it's so nice outside. I should be doing something. That's never a factor here. Never a factor.
No.
And there's
you
like
can't
there's,
do things.
There's weighted blankets.
Yes, and if you try to do something and you try to leave, someone like looks at you, shakes their head, and points back to the couch.
Occasionally, if you really feel like you need some physical activity, there's like a beach cruiser bike with a little basket, and you can ride to the bakery to get some muffins and then take them back to your cabin. But that's it. That's the extent of leaving.
So you can buy domes.
What are we looking at price-wise?
They're not going to tell me. I have to inquire further with them via email.
Yeah, that means that they're expensive.
Yeah, they're pretty expensive.
Yeah, it's like inquire within. That means it's too expensive.
Yeah, if they don't have the, if you have to ask, you can't afford it.
Yeah.
But it's Shelter Dome is the name of the company. And they can do it for like trade shows and, you know, desert-based concert events.
It needs to be like a couple miles wide. Like probably like maybe 15 miles wide or something.
Yeah, they're not even giving me... They're not even giving me price information.
Well, anyway, I will likely never do this. But now I've put my idea into the universe. Mm-hmm. So, like, do you think Mark Rubin listens to this podcast?
Who's Mark Rubin?
He's like that guy from Shark Tank,
Mark
right?
Cuban?
Oh.
Mark Rubin is the sandwich version of him.
I'm thinking of a sandwich. I'm so hungry.
Yeah. That's what his local hometown deli
named
his.
But you know what? I like a Cuban sandwich too. Hey. So.
Okay. What is your next business idea?
Okay. Do you ever watch the Food Network?
Yeah.
You know the show Chopped?
Of course.
Okay. So you know how like they have all these places now where you can like the rage room and like escape the room?
Yeah.
And, like basically it all happens in the room.
Yeah.
Well, my idea is the Chopped room.
Ooh.
So all your friends, you like sign up and you show up and there's like two people in there that work and there's like a basket and you have to make a meal from the basket. Like you're timed and the people there judge which of your friends made the best meal.
That's, if you love to cook, that is a dream.
Doesn't that sound
that
fun?
That sounds fun.
And then like some of your other friends can like come with a bottle of wine and like watch you make a fool of yourself.
I'll be that friend. I'll come and judge you.
So Chopped room.
Yeah, Chopped is that's a great idea.
Right?
Yeah.
I've been watching The Bold Type a lot lately on Freeform. It's the best show on TV.
It takes place at like a magazine, right?
It's a magazine. I'm telling you, it's so good. The topics that they address, it's like, I've been describing it to my friends as a modern Degrassi next generation meets fashion meets New York City.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it's so good. And one of the episodes was about the rage room.
Nice.
Where you can go and you can like break shit. You like put a vase on a table and you swing a bat at it and you're like, fuck this, fuck that, rage, 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 and then you feel so much better.
I have a friend who just went to one and they said that there was a printer. You know everyone hates a printer. We have so much rage against our like, you know, friendly neighborhood office printer. So they got to smash a printer.
You know what? People should start doing this in their garages. Like if someone has an empty room, everyone in the neighborhood should just come over with their trash and they all just beat the shit out of each other's trash.
Yeah, just wear safety goggles.
And safety, like
a full hazmat suit.
Porcelain, little pieces of porcelain flying that, can be like a little bit dangerous.
Yeah, so I know you have a hazmat suit sitting in your closet, Kathleen. So I would just make sure to like wear your hazmat suit.
Yes, I mean, it's like a fashion choice, but also a safety choice.
Speaking of fashion choices, I bought a vintage like Air Force coveralls.
Oh, from San Francisco?
Yeah, when I was in San Francisco. Okay. And they fit perfectly and they're so comfy because they're already broken in.
Amazing.
And I think I need to take the patches off because I feel like it's a little disrespectful for me to like wear.
Yes.
But once they're off, it's just like coveralls.
Yes.
And they're very comfy.
So did you see that new movie that came out with Olivia Wilde directed with...
Booksmart?
Booksmart.
I haven't seen it yet.
Beanie Feinstein.
Feldstein.
She's Jonah Hill's little sister.
She's great.
It was so good.
Yeah.
And part of the movie is that they're going out for like a fun night on the town and these two best friends, they wear matching coverall jumpsuits.
Coveralls are the best. I now own three pair. One is very blue, one's white, and one is this like green one.
What? Very utilitarian.
Mm-hmm. And you wear them with heels? Cute, cute, cute.
Like wearing a fishing vest when you go traveling.
Yeah.
Underneath your regular clothes or like underneath your coat.
Yeah.
You know, because then you got your passport, you got your keys, you have your money, like all of your pockets are right there, right in the front.
And you look bulkier, which means people are afraid to beat you up.
I would like to petition Marc Jacobs to start making fashion fishing vests. I feel like that's in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Like a sleeker silhouette.
Yes.
Not as bulky.
But with all the pockets in the front.
But with all the pockets in the front.
Like maybe some brass buttons.
Yeah.
Right?
Some epaulets.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I just think that clothing needs to be more utilitarian.
I went to this like store that I just discovered in the fashion district, which is just like accessories.
Uh-huh. Were you at M&J Trimming?
I was at M&J Trimming.
I knew it.
I love that
girlfriend,
store.
You know I used to work in the fashion district.
I had never been there before. Yeah. I went. They had everything I needed and everything I didn't.
Uh-huh.
I bought epaulets and I don't need them, but I'm going to affix them to a jacket.
Hell yeah.
They're great. They had everything, Kathleen.
Yes. New York City's garment district is, there's just so many gems there.
It's incredible.
And if you appreciate fabric, just go into some of these shops and look at like the rolls and rolls of lace and sequins and all these sorts of cool things that they have.
Yeah, I really, M&J Trimmings. If you're ever in New York, that's where you go. People are like, where should we go? And we can tell you to go to like a fancy restaurant, but we can also tell you to go to M&J Trimmings.
I can't remember what the name of the place used to be, but remember in Sex and the City, maybe it was like season 4, season 5, Sarah Jessica Parker was wearing these huge silk flowers basically on everything that she was wearing that season. Okay.
With every outfit. And I used to work for a bridesmaid's dress designer in the garment district. And a lot of the dresses that we did had these like big silk flowers on them. But after it got popular from Sex and the City, the company that was making them, it was like a little mom and pop, you know, shop. I don't even think they had a storefront. You had to like go into an office building to get to their studio. And we used to have to line up outside of this place to get your hands on some of these silk flowers, because not only did designers know about this shop now too, like people started looking up because they wanted to copy Sarah Jessica Parker's outfits.
Crazy.
And they only had, you know, X amount of silk flowers that they had made for, you know, they were handmade. They took a lot of time.
Oh my gosh. Do you remember how much they cost? Oh, at the time,
you know what? Maybe like $11 or something.
Oh, that's it.
But it was like, that's like wholesale price. And okay. then if you were going to resell them, you'd mark them up to like 40 or 50.
Yeah. I remember that.
It was, you know, it's an exciting time. And a lot of small designers, like they're in and out of these little nooks and crannies and factories here in New York City. Mm-hmm. And you walk in and you cannot even believe that you're in New York City. I know LA's got a big district like that too, but it's a little bit more spread out.
There's a makeup store on like 28th. And I want to say 6th maybe. And it's like on the second floor of this just office building.
Yeah.
And I went up and it's, you take the elevator up into this like hallway with just closed doors. And then you go to the end of the hallway and there's just this glass door that's, I don't remember the name of the company is, but you just go in. And I went in and I said, am I allowed here? I'm not a makeup artist. And she was like, yeah. Cause it looks like one of those specialty stores that you can only go to if you're in the industry. Everything you need. Fake tattoos, walls of fake eyelashes, all of these different concealers, all of these different like silicone products for effects makeup. And like one guy was looking for fake tattoos and she said, oh, it's to the left of the Leaders of Blood. Because it's where you go if you're doing any makeup for film and television. And
you
like,
know what? Great. That's a great novel title.
It's, I know, right?
To the left of the Leaders of Blood.
Yeah. So anyway, there's just so many cute little like hole in the wall stores here that I got a full bag of fake eyelashes that will last me forever. And I don't know. I don't even know where this is going, but it's just really fun. There's so many little gems.
It's why I love New York City.
Yeah. And there's everything you need.
One of the reasons why I'll never leave. Who wants to go to the regular mall? Not me. Mm-mm. I'm about digging for my treasures.
Hell yes. Kathleen, I know you agree with me on this. Like, if you're trying to live a better life, the number one place to start is getting more sleep.
Before you do anything, sleep is numero uno.
It's like you can't run a marathon if you haven't eaten anything.
Uh-huh.
You cannot run a marathon in your life if you are not getting good sleep.
Good sleep is important because it affects the quality of everything that you do in your everyday life, from your ability to function at work, take care of your children, cook dinner at night, work out. Like, if you don't get a good night's sleep, the rest of your day is effed.
That's why we've partnered with Purple. The Purple mattress feels different than any other mattress you've experienced because it uses brand new material that was developed by an actual rocket scientist. It's not like the memory foam that you're used to.
And the founders of Purple, they're these two brothers. They've been developing cushioning technology for over 30 years on things like medical beds and wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm. They finally decided to put that into the world's most scientific mattress, Purple. It feels unique because it's both firm and soft at the same time, so it keeps everything supported while still feeling really comfortable, and it's breathable, so it sleeps cool.
And it kind of ends up giving you this zero gravity like feel for any sleep position you're in. How amazing does that sound?
And great for couples because it kind of does everything you need it to do.
Don't take our word for it. Get a Purple mattress for yourself because they're offering a 100-night risk-free trial. It's a long time.
It's a long time.
And if you're not fully satisfied, you can return your mattress for a full refund.
Backed by a 10-year warranty, free shipping and returns, and they have free in-home setup and old mattress removal. And they're going to take away that old mattress that is heavier than it was when you bought it because it's full of mites and skin and gross stuff.
Blood.
Dead bodies. And teeth.
And get real with yourself.
Yeah.
Are you sleeping as best as you possibly can? Because if you're not living your best sleep life, you're not living your best life.
I love that.
I'm a poet.
Mm-hmm. Purple should use that. So you're going to love Purple. Right now, our listeners get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress. That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. All you have to do is pull out your phone and text the word TASTE, TASTE, to the number 84888.
The only way to get this free pillow is to text TASTE to 84888. That's Taste, T-A-S-T-E to 84888. Message and data rates may apply.
So Kathleen, I was flying home last night, and you know, when you're up in the air, they say that you're a little bit more emotional. I don't know why.
Yeah.
So you cry more easily at movies.
That's why I love taking really sad books in an airplane, because you get really into it.
You get really into it. You cry so hard.
Yeah.
So I was watching Wonder Woman, and the opening of that movie makes me cry because it's when all of the women start fight. It's not the very opening, but it's like near the beginning.
Yeah.
And all of the warrior Amazons come out and fight. And it's all of these women fighting the way that their bodies allow them to fight, which is like fluid and flexible and like leaning backwards off a horse and jumping really high and whatever.
The CGI way of fighting.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. And that always makes me cry. It made me cry again. but watching the movie made me realize that I am not pushing myself as hard as I should be in life.
Okay. I understand that.
Yeah. All of these women, I mean, they're Amazon warriors. They're pushing themselves. They're training. They're powerful. They're powerful.
And I think that's the key word here.
Yeah. And Diana saves the world. I just started to cry after the women were fighting. And then I started crying again because I realized that I am sort of living my life doing the bare minimum that I'm used to doing.
I understand that.
And I think a lot of us are doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, we get into a rhythm. I took a big risk a while ago and pushed myself, but now I've sort of gotten into this nice rhythm of like what I expect the day is going to look like. And I realized that I need to push myself a little bit further and do more than just the bare minimum status quo.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people can probably understand this because our days feel really stressful. Your plate is really full.
Uh-huh.
And so you feel like you're going through your day just sort of scraping by and not pushing higher than you could be.
I heard Gary Vee say something recently about quote culture.
Mm.
And quote culture is those empowerment memes.
Yeah.
Today's your day.
Yeah.
You're stronger than anyone says you are. Okay.
Yeah.
So he said that's the easy part. Reading that, digesting that, sharing that, that's the easy part.
Mm-hmm.
The hard part is when you actually implement it.
Oh, yeah, that's when you have to get off the couch.
So I think society has gone in the right direction where people are now like taking care of themselves and sort of dropping the idea that you need to work in corporate America, mm-hmm. and harvesting room for entrepreneurship in what used to be like a really 1980s go to the office, come home kind of life.
Yeah.
But the hard part is implementing what all those amazing memes that you like,
yeah,
and what they mean.
Yeah. So what I decided I need to do is every day, like I made a checklist of things that I need to personally do for myself every single day. And this isn't for like self-care. This is for my career.
Okay.
So for example, every day I need to update my website,
uh-huh.
with whatever, if it's new photos, if it's something I'm promoting, whatever. I have to submit to auditions every day. I have to answer emails every day. I have to promote something on social media if there's something to promote. Like,
yep.
I'm not good at promoting myself the way that I should be. And at least twice a week, besides Ariel, I have to work out. And we have OpenFit. We are able to work out from home.
Uh-huh.
I need to get back on that twice a week in the morning, work out for at least 10 minutes. Like, that is my thing. And I think that a lot of people, you can make your own list on whatever that looks like for you. But literally, I'm going to be writing it out and then checking it off every single day. But I found this article because I realized that what is really holding me back is that I get so stressed out by these little tiny things,
yes,
that pop up.
I understand that. And also, it's an element of holding yourself accountable,
yeah,
and letting yourself down.
Yeah.
But you have to be comfortable with sometimes letting yourself down because you can't possibly be perfect 100% of the time,
sure,
right?
Sure. But even if you're perfect 75% of the time,
it's better
that's so much more than you were doing before.
It's better than no percent of the time.
Exactly. But you were saying that entrepreneurship is like a thing that a lot of people are doing. And so I was looking up like how to handle being stressed out. And on entrepreneur.com, I found this really awesome article.
Ooh.
by someone named Sean Doyle. Uh-huh. And
if you have a side hustle, if you have like an Etsy shop, mm-hmm. or you sell candles at the farmer's market on the weekends, like this is for you too, yeah. because you may not realize it, but your side hustle may be your actual true passion. And, yeah. and maybe that's how you're going to live your best life if you pursue that full time.
Yeah. So he says that when it comes to being stressed out, being stressed is a choice. You can be stressed or you can choose to not be stressed. And he quotes the actress Mary Lou Henner,
uh-huh.
One of my first girl crushes ever.
Where's she from?
She was in the show Taxi. And I remember watching like Nick at Night and I saw a commercial for Taxi. Yeah. And it was just like this beautiful red-haired woman. And I just remember being so drawn to her.
Enamored.
I had a thing for redheaded women. I was also in love with Daphne from Scooby-Doo.
Oh, I understand that.
Oh, so beautiful. Yeah. Mary Lou Henner said, being in control of your life and having realistic expectations about your day-to-day challenges are the keys to stress management, which is perhaps the most important ingredient to living a happy, healthy, and rewarding life.
Love that.
Yeah. So he said, you cannot control what happens to you, but you can control your response. And when I landed last night after a five-hour flight, coming home from vacation, I turned my phone back on and it's just fires that need to be put out. Mm-hmm. And all of my calmness from vacation disappeared. And it was like, this is happening. This is happening. I need to hear from you. What's going on? I needed to hear from you 5 hours ago. Where have you been? Blah, blah, blah. And I was immediately stressed out. And then I just decided, you know what? This will all get taken care of. I am choosing not to be stressed.
Uh-huh.
There is nothing I can do except step by step fix the problem.
I really think the first thing that you need to do to live your life, you're on vacation every day, mm-hmm. is drink a pina colada every morning. It's good for the constitution.
My mom likes Martha Stewart's idea, which is like, before people come over, have a half of a cocktail,
yes.
because you're a much better hostess after half,
yes,
of a cocktail.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Or my favorite, a La Croix with a shot of gin in that.
A little bit of gin. It's all you need. But this guy describes one of the best things you can do is, instead of being stressed out with what's happening, be grateful for what didn't happen.
Uh-huh.
So for example, if your flight is delayed, be grateful that you didn't take off and then discover that there was an engine problem.
Uh-huh.
Or if it was delayed for weather, be grateful that you didn't get stuck in that weather. If there's a million emails that are coming in and need you to put out these fires, be grateful that you have a job, uh-huh. where you're needed and that, you know, you're getting the emails, not that you missed all of them and the fires have burned down your entire building and now you lost your job. Like, figuring out it could be so much worse.
Yes.
And being grateful for the way it looks instead.
Look at it this way too. If you are working for yourself, or if you are stressed out because you have a side hustle,
mm-hmm.
and you're chasing that entrepreneurial dream, be grateful that your mind is the type of mind that can be creative, because
yeah.
there's so many people out there who don't even have the first, they can't even inch towards that ability to
yeah.
open their brains to anything creative.
Yeah.
We live in a Pinterest perfect society now where everyone's like, regular job, side hustle, super mom, meal on the table, that's beautiful. You know what? Give yourself a break.
Yeah.
But I love this idea of making a checklist of,
yes.
of the things that you need to do every day to make you feel fulfilled and happy,
mm-hmm.
and holding yourself accountable to getting those done.
And they're not things that are going to make you fulfilled and happy instantly. This is like the long-term stuff. Like,
yeah.
you can do self-care to feel good today, but this is now moving on to the next step of making sure your life and your career looks the way you want it to
uh-huh.
look, with every day holding yourself to these tasks.
And find like-minded friends and have these conversations with them. Like, Bethany and I, behind the scenes, we've been talking about financial security.
Yeah.
And the things that we've learned about, like, where you should put your money, what kind of things you should invest in. These are the conversations that especially women need to be having with each other.
Yeah.
You need to let somebody know that you're interested in these types of things.
Yeah.
And they'll, in response, if there's somebody who shares your interest, they'll be like, oh, well, I learned this and I learned that and blah, 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 blah. And
yeah.
that's how ideas grow.
Yeah. Build your group of people who make you happy and inspire you.
Uh-huh.
And one other thing that... That's Loki. Oh, I was like, what is that noise?
That's funny.
One other thing that this author, Sean Doyle, said is take the oh well approach. Loki, can...
Here, hold on.
Wait.
Here, bud. Ready? Come here. Go get it.
Is take the oh well approach. So instead of getting instantly stressed out by a situation like being stuck in traffic, say, I'm stuck in traffic, so oh well.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Because you're saying to yourself, in the grand scheme of life, this is not a big deal.
Yeah.
You're not going to die. Even if you get in trouble with your boss because you were late, in the grand scheme of life, it's not a big deal.
It's not going to matter. Are you familiar with On Being with Krista Tippett?
Yes.
Okay, so her show plays here in New York and WNYC at night, like at 9 o'clock or something. Her show goes on. And last night, she was interviewing this guy, Jerry Colonna.
Okay.
And he is this venture capitalist turned career coach. And one of the points that he makes is you do not need to check the messy parts of your life at the door in order to have a professional career.
Okay.
Because, you know, a lot of it's like, leave it at the door. When you're here, you're only focusing on work.
Yeah.
But then it just becomes too hard to live two different lives.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So go easier on yourself, because your personal life is going to bleed into your work life. Your work life is going to bleed into your, you know, your personal life.
Yeah.
And if you're not accomplishing everything that you want to be accomplishing, just like make that simple list.
Yes.
And approach it that way.
Yeah.
Because the soup is never going to be totally clear before you can get everything done.
No, it's true. I'm such a list person that I think this list is going to be huge, because I think that self-care is such a big thing now that we're progressing to the next phase,
yeah,
which is like self-care every day, but also accountability every day for where you want to be in your life.
If you work for yourself, if you run your own company, if maybe you're like a freelancer at home doing your type of thing, we want to hear from you.
Yeah.
How do you structure your day? What kind of goals do you set for yourself every day, short term and long term?
Yeah.
Like, Bethany and I are so interested in this and how, like, I don't know. Wheels are turning.
Shoot us an email if you want, medacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com, and let us know, yeah, how are you structuring your day? And then maybe we can help others do the same thing if you've kind of cracked the code.
Yes.
Well, as I just said, I'm getting back into
Open Fit
and using it again, because I gave myself a little time off and I realized that I feel so much better when I'm actually working out. And Open Fit is a really big part of that.
I've been doing my Open Fit a lot lately, my app. I do it on my iPad because I can like bring it into my little back room.
Yeah.
Get a little bit of privacy.
Uh-huh.
And I was looking at myself in the mirror the other day and I was like, damn, my butt looks good.
Good girl, park your butt. So if you're wondering what the hell is Open Fit is a super simple streaming service that allows you to work out from the comfort of your living room in as little as 10 minutes a day.
Yeah, so you never have to miss a sweat session because the endorphins, they're addictive.
Yeah, you'll feel so much better for the rest of your day.
And you lose the commute to the gym. I hate driving to the gym. Yep. I hate walking to the gym.
Yep.
I hate paying the late fees for my spin class when I ultimately don't show up.
Yeah, because you know you're not going to show up. You're tired. The workouts come to you. And OpenFit knows that everybody's bodies are different. So OpenFit gets that, which is why it's personalized to your needs with custom tailored original content.
And I can't always do some of the hard workouts. Like sometimes my body's just not conditioned yet to move that way.
Sure.
OpenFit instructors always give you how to alter it to make it work for you.
Like one of the classes you can take is Yoga 52. It helps you build strength and flexibility, reduce stress, which we were just talking about, and reshape your body by taking a deeper dive into yoga. But you don't need an expensive yoga studio and, you know, a bunch of people who are trying to Instagram their awesome poses sitting next to you. All you have to do is grab a yoga mat. And then you're alone with your Yoga 52.
One of my best friends, she just moved and she got a freaking backyard. We're starting this thing where I'm bringing over my OpenFit app on my iPad.
That's
and
great.
We're going to start yoga parties in her backyard where we're all going to do yoga and then drink wine.
Yoga parties sound like that's legit.
And it's
that's
all because of OpenFit.
OpenFit has changed the way we work out. And with our code TASTE, you can join us on a fitness journey personalized just for you. So use the code TASTE. Start using OpenFit for your journey to a healthier life.
Right now, OpenFit's doing this 30-day challenge and they're giving our Acquired Taste listeners a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit. And all you have to do is text TASTE, TASTE to 30 30 30.
You're going to get full access to OpenFit, all the workouts and nutrition information. Again, just text TASTE to the numbers 30 30 30. Standard message and data rates may apply. Kathleen, I am conflicted.
Let me be your guide.
Yeah. So Kraft wants kids to eat more vegetables. Did you hear about this?
I may have.
So instead of salad dressing, they are putting ranch dressing in little packets and calling it salad frosting. And
it's kind of genius, kind of stupid.
Listen. Do you need to lie to your children?
Yes.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm not a parent, so I don't know.
Okay, so my niece Audrey, when she was little, she ate ketchup on everything.
Delicious.
Like, this is the type of kid that was, she was probably dipping her carrots in ketchup.
Sure.
Okay.
Sugary tomato.
We were having a Sunday night family dinner.
Yeah.
And my mother-in-law made meatballs.
Delicious.
And it came in red sauce.
Yeah.
But Audrey wouldn't eat it unless we told her that it was meatball ketchup.
Okay.
Because sometimes kids are just, they're so focused on getting what they like. You kind of have to lie to them sometimes.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. I feel like it's one thing to sort of lie to your kid, like on a one-to-one level, but like when an entire corporation is branding a lie and they put frosting in quotes. But still.
I love it. Vegetable frosting. I think it's genius.
At what point do we just tell kids to suck it up? I'm not telling you how to parent. I don't know. I'm asking a question. Can you tell your kid to just like suck it up, or do you have to buy vegetable frosting?
You know what? I pray that when I have children, they're good eaters, because I will be having none of that.
I like to think, I'm not going to have children, but like, I like to think that I would be the parent who says, this is what dinner is. Otherwise you're not eating tonight.
Uh-huh.
But I also know that I would probably have a kid who says, well, great, I'm just going to go on a starvation diet. And I would end up buckling and making the kid whatever they wanted.
Yeah. I think that's what a lot of parents go through. I just think the idea of calling it frosting, I mean, first of all, like ranch dressing, it kind of looks like frosting. It's white like frosting.
Sure.
And I might start calling it frosting for myself.
What's to keep you from saying to the kid, it's frosting, but it just says salad dressing on it? Like, why does it have to rebrand itself?
Semantics.
Why am I so angry about
semantics.
This? I am livid.
I love it. I'm going to put vegetable frosting on everything. I'm going to put it on my pizza.
I think it pisses me off because now it just makes me want frosting. Like, I just want regular frosting. And ultimately, salad frosting is it's a massive disappointment because you have your head, you want frosting. It doesn't taste like frosting.
No.
It tastes like ranch dressing, which is delicious, but not the flavor my brain is set up for now. If you had called it something else, if you had called it like salad, like creamy, I don't know.
Well, like, so cheese could be like if a child doesn't want to eat cheese.
Why would a child not want to eat cheese? It is the best food group.
You could call it like liquid sunshine, right? Come on, honey. Come and get some of your liquid sunshine lunch.
Is that like queso?
Grilled liquid sunshine lunch. It's like grilled cheese,
grilled cheese.
Yeah. Or like scrambled eggs. You could call them breakfast clouds.
Okay, when does it end?
No,
when does the lying to your child end?
No, it never ends.
Because now you have a child who cannot handle the truth. Your child is like, well, I don't want to eat this because it doesn't have some frothy, appetizing name.
And like bran muffins, like healthy muffins.
Yeah.
You call
them. Just call them muffins.
No, you call them.
Poop bricks.
You call them body cupcakes.
No.
You call them body cupcakes. You call them snack cupcakes.
Again, your child is going to be disappointed because they are expecting a delicious cupcake and they are getting a bran muffin. If you tell me something is frosting, don't bait and switch me with ranch dressing.
Or
frosting
if you,
connotes a certain level of thickness and sweetness.
If you want your kid to eat vegetable soup, you could be like, this is superhero juice.
Awful.
No, I think it's good.
Juice connotes sweet. You're giving me a broth that's awful.
It's the juice of the superheroes.
You know what? I think this is going to backfire on Kraft because I think kids are going to get really excited and then they're going to taste it and it's going to be awful. Not because ranch dressing is disgusting. It's not, but because they were expecting butter and cream mixed together with some sugar.
Joke's on you, Bethany. Nothing is going to backfire on Kraft because they are the makers of, what's that macaroni and cheese you put in the microwave?
Cheese and macaroni. Easy Mac?
Easy Mac.
Easy Mac is friggin' delicious.
It used to be a staple in my diet.
Oh, that's all I ate in college.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You could put vegetable frosting in Easy Mac. It'd be delicious.
All right, Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
Okay, this is going to sound... You know who I'm obsessed with? My Amazon Alexa.
Yes.
Okay. Do you use the shopping list feature?
No.
Okay. So this is what you do. I just discovered it. It's a feature that's been around for ages, but I am loving every second of it. So you have the app on your phone and you have the Alexa in your house, your apartment, whatever. You know, when you go to the supermarket and you're like, God damn it. You get home and you're like, I forgot this. I forgot that. I forgot that. The Alexa app has a special list feature
where you're in your kitchen or you're in your house and you're like, oh, I ran out of whatever.
Yeah.
You go like, Alexa. I'm probably, I'm really pissing people off right now. Mm-hmm. It's called her Allie.
Well, it's the Echo.
Echo. So yeah. Say Echo, add tinfoil to my shopping list.
Okay.
And you can specify. So I have like my ShopRite shopping list and my Trader Joe's shopping list.
Oh.
And she'll just put everything on there for you. And so my husband and I, we share the same Alexa account. So when he goes to ShopRite, he doesn't have to text me now and be like, hey, what do you need? Like, what do we need for the house? And I have to like think about it and rack my brain. It's all right there in the app.
That's awesome. I didn't really, I don't use my Echo the way I should be using my Echo.
Yeah. This is my new favorite feature.
All she does is listen. I might as well get something out of it.
And they have like a to-do list feature too. You can make basically a list for anything and she'll recognize the name of the list.
Huh.
So if you're sitting on your couch at night and you're like thinking about what you have to do the next day, you just tell her and she's going to put it on your list in your app.
Huh. She's not just spying on you.
She's not just spying on you. I'm telling you, she's useful.
Thank you.
Bethany, what'd you learn this week?
So I went to this vegan wedding and so I learned that one of the few things keeping me from going full vegan is tuna. It's the only fish I'll eat.
Spicy tuna roll?
Spicy tuna roll.
Dream
Love
meal.
It. So I learned from one of the guys at this vegan wedding that there is a new vegan tuna that they've been working for years on and they finally cracked the code on how to make it taste and look like tuna. So full disclosure, I haven't tried it yet. I literally just found out about it 2 days ago.
Kind of like the tuna Impossible Burger.
Exactly. That's what they compare it to. And it's called Good Catch. And it comes in a pouch just the way regular tuna does. And you can get it. I know you can get it at Whole Foods, for example. But it's made out of various legumes and nuts and stuff. Huh. But it tastes like tuna. And then it also has the same omega-3s that you want to get from your tuna. But it's a little bit healthier for you. One thing that he said, which I hadn't thought of before, is like with meat, you can get meat from a specific farm that vouches for like how ethical they treat their animals and how clean it is and blah, blah, blah. But you can't get that from seafood.
Yeah.
You can't say like, I vouch for this, you know, certain amount of water because the water is obviously.
Yeah. I mean, you can if the fish is farm raised. But then fish don't leave. They don't live their best lives when they're living on a farm, like in a cage or a net or something.
Yeah.
And then so sometimes you'll see Zooey Deschanel doing commercials about microplastics in salmon.
Yeah.
And it's because like tiny minuscule pieces of plastic for wild caught salmon, they get into ocean waters or waters where salmon live. And then basically you're eating salmon with little tiny minuscule pieces of plastic in the flesh.
It's awful.
I know.
And like, you know, if pregnant women shouldn't be eating it, it's probably not like the healthiest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And so this is just a really good option. And again, like I'm not getting paid. I haven't even tried it, but I'm going to. And again, it's called Good Catch. And it's just plant-based tuna.
I think it's just good to keep an open mind about food.
Yeah.
Because once you become, no, absolutely not. I only eat plant-based. Or, I mean, yes, it's fine to make that decision.
But don't be.
Don't push your views on other people, right?
Yeah.
Or don't at least have an open mind about thinking about other sources of food.
Yeah.
And then it's like the other end of the spectrum that's like, no, absolutely not. I'm going to eat meat forever. Burgers. Give me a raw steak. Like, there needs to be some sort of in between, and being curious about things that you don't know about is always good.
I tweeted this a little while ago because there are so many people who, if they hear something, they're like, that didn't happen. Ugh, whatever. You didn't experience that. My new favorite human trait is curiosity, because it means that you don't automatically assume someone is wrong, dumb, ignorant.
Yeah.
You are open to hearing their perspective.
Yes.
Even if you don't agree with it, you still are open to the possibility that it's true for them.
Can I ask you a question about vegan meat?
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'm like, okay, I can eat regular meat,
mm-hmm.
or I can eat vegan meat. And then there's this whole stigma against processed foods.
Yeah.
And a lot of the vegan meats are processed.
Totally.
So what are your thoughts on that?
I think that you want to limit them. Uh-huh. I don't think it's an everyday thing. For me, it's a couple times a week, because I still feel better eating the processed meat than I do eating regular meat. For me, it's an animal rights thing.
Yes.
But with that goes like eating more fruits and vegetables, eating more grains, eating more like legumes and stuff like that. So it's not my only source of food. I think when it becomes like you, that's all you eat, then that's when it's a problem.
I told you last podcast that I bought these chickenless chicken nuggets from Dr. Prager's.
Yeah.
They are amazing.
Good, right?
Like, I made them in the microwave, and then I crisped them up in the pan.
Yeah.
God damn it. It was, like, better than a regular chicken nugget, honestly.
And I don't feel heavy and gross afterwards.
And chicken nuggets are most of the time processed meat to begin with.
Yeah.
Different from chicken fingers, because sometimes those are, like, whole chunks of white chicken meat. But chicken nuggets... process. So I might as well eat the vegetable ones.
Yeah, they're good. They're really, really good.
It was delicious.
Welcome to this world, Kathleen. Thank you so much for listening this week. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. Kathleen,
I'm yawning. I'm sorry.
Where can people find you on social media?
At Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
I am Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. That's Ms. Bethany Watson. I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter.
You can follow us on Twitter, this podcast, at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, at Acquired Taste Podcast.
You can email us at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
And if you'd like to send us some snail mail, we love to see your wedding invitations. You can do so at Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
Wherever you listen to us, please rate, review, and subscribe, especially on Apple Podcasts. It really, really helps us. 5 stars helps us the most. We would very much appreciate it.
And if you want to leave us a voicemail, I just love listening to them so much.
We love you all.
Find an empty room. Don't be driving down the highway. Sound quality does matter. Our phone number is 917-994-0353. You can hear our little message for you guys, and you can leave us one back.
And here are some of your taste bud messages this week.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. It's Jessica from New York. I just wanted to say that I listened to last week's podcast where Kathleen got really honest about a conversation that she had with her father. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for being vulnerable and putting yourself out there. I 100% relate to that.
Hey, ladies. It's Cricket. I'm chilling in the bathtub and listening to an Acquired Taste. Nothing better than a Tuesday night chilling and laughing my ass off. Love you guys.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. It's Rachel in Virginia. And I just started listening to your podcast about 6 months ago. I'm a huge fan. I'm loving it already. And I wanted to let you know that thanks in a huge part to you guys as well as some other stuff that's been going on in my life. I have decided to go back to therapy and counseling. And I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be really, really good. I think I need it. And so thank you guys for helping me to be strong enough to say, yes, I do need something to be able to stand up and fight for what I need. So you guys are awesome.
Hi, this is Hannah, one of the Taste Buds. I just listened to the podcast with you guys and your men, and I have to say it was awesome. I think you guys should do many, many more of those episodes. And Sharticles, that was like the best thing ever. I died laughing.
Hey, ladies, this is Maria from Brooklyn. My first time calling in, but I've been a fan of yours since before you even started the podcast. I want to say thank you for making this podcast because I look forward to it every week. Happy summer.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen, this is Muriel from Central New Jersey. I just want to say that I love the show. And Kathleen, your story about your father's comments about your weight, it really touched me. I've been dealing with a similar situation my whole life, especially with my mother. She always seems to comment on my weight every time I see her, and I always feel like I'm walking on eggshells around her because I never know when she's going to bring it up, and I kind of dread seeing her because of it. So I just wanted to let you know that you're not alone, and I'm really proud of you for the way that you handled it. And also, my goal for the summer is to learn how to French braid my own hair, and I am determined to do it.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Bethany. I'm so excited I had to give you a call on this lovely Sunday morning because something just happened that restored my faith in humanity, at least a little bit. I was driving home, and in the middle of the road was this fluffy little black ball, and it was a kitten. And you would not believe how many people pulled over to help me get this cat to where it needed to be. It wound up jumping up into my tire well, but we got him out, and he's happy, he's healthy, a little scared, but he's on his way to the vet to hopefully get a new home. I would take him if I could, but just a little bit of sunshine to start off my Sunday. So happy. And I had to call you. Thanks, ladies. Have a great day.